you going to the E-Women, we're having a conference October the 13th. We are going to South Haven. So if you would like to meet today, just for a few minutes, so we can discuss for sure how we're getting there, who you're writing with, all of that. If you've not, I think everybody's paid for E-Women, but let's meet today. It might be a few minutes. We'll meet, let's eat first, okay? If you're willing to wait. If you can't wait, we'll do it next week, okay? All right, if you've not paid for your t-shirt, please pay today. I'm gonna pick them up probably this week.
Right on, good stuff. Yeah, I think it's, there we go, it's working. Are y'all ready? It's not working? It is working. It's kind of working. I'm judging by facial expressions. Is it? Oh, almost too good. All right, listen. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to worship God. We have an opportunity to hear His Word. Let's make the most of it. Amen? Father God, help us. Help us to make the most of this opportunity You've given us through Your grace. An opportunity to worship You, to hear Your Word, and an opportunity just to be together. Help us never to take for granted any of these things. Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Any native Spanish speakers here? Good. So that in Spanish, that song goes, Abre mi ojos, oh Cristo. Abre mi ojos, Señor. Yo quiero verte. Yo quiero verte. And then holy, holy, holy is Santo, Santo, Santos. And the reason why I tell you that is because I needed time so the band could get arranged. But I also wanted to tell you, that was one of the best things I got from going to a mission trip to Mexico, to Zacatecas, Mexico, and you just learned to worship together with people. You didn't speak their language and they didn't speak your language, but you knew that because of what Christ did, everybody in the group wanted to see God. Wanting to see God is a good test. As we go through the rest of this, ask yourself, when you see the Lord, is it going to be a good meeting? Is it going to be a reunion? I want to see the Lord that saved me. I'm not afraid of Him because I know He loves me. How about you?
I want to hear voices. that I don't know if any of you ever go back and listen to the recordings of the service on that's on our website. I usually do listen to them. And last week was our church anniversary, and if you were here, I mean, you know that it was packed, and there was a lot of people here. And I went back and I listened to it this week, and one of the things that struck me was on all the songs, but especially, and I'm thinking about one we just did, how it talks about holy is the Lord and holy, holy, and how in Revelations it says we'll cry out and sing holy, holy is the Lord. And last Sunday we sang Revelation song, which says the same things. And when I was listening to it, the thing I was telling the band that struck me is you guys, like the congregation last Sunday, not that y'all don't normally sound good, but I mean, like last Sunday, it was like, if you've ever heard like Hillsongs, when they have like the big choir behind them, like y'all sounded really awesome on that recording. It was like, I listened to it 5 or 6 times because it was like a choir. It was so good. I mean, I really turned off my radio a lot this week and would just turn that on, you know, through Bluetooth and would just listen to it. And I realized that I sing that song, but I was not listening to myself. I was listening to you guys. It was such a blessing. And I felt like it was such a spirit of worship. And I just wanted to mention that.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, holy.
Amen. Amen. Y'all, one of the awesome opportunities we have, and I know I just kind of yelled it out from the front row, I don't know how much y'all heard, but Shauna shared her testimony about hearing us like a big old choir. But that's the reality. Y'all, the reality is you don't sing worship music. A band doesn't sing it to a church group. That's not the target. We don't put these folks up here to do for us what we ought to be doing ourselves. We ought to be worshiping God ourselves. We don't put specialists up there to worship God for us. We put specialists up there to lead us to worship God. So if they're leading us to worship God, that really does mean we are the choir, right? You don't hire a specialist to break down, digest, and regurgitate the Word to you so that you don't have to study the Word yourself. You hire a specialist, thank you for doing so, to lead, to supplement, to complement what you're already doing yourself and getting fed and getting into the Word. It's not about putting people up here to do what we're supposed to be doing anyway. It's to have leaders to encourage us to do, to worship God, to read His Word. Nothing smacks more of useless religion than a group of people hiring people to do things for them before God that they should be doing for themselves. Does that make sense? All right, that has nothing to do with our... That was just the free. That was free. That was just... But One of these days, we need to get a choir leader who will stand up like this when a band's singing, and we'll go, and then everybody will get up, and I'll do like what every choir leader in the world does. I'll wave my hands aimlessly like a crazy banjo. And we'll do how they do. They go, woo! And then, but now look, but that's the idea. That's the idea, is that we're the choir. God's the audience, not us. You don't say, they ain't singing praise music to us. And this isn't a concert. We're going to have a concert here on the 15th, right? Bringing in the big guns. Michael O'Brien, he's going to do a concert. But I'm going to tell you, if he is singing to us, it ain't worth it. But if he inspires us to see God in our mind and say, God's worthy of worship, okay, then it's worth it. You got what I'm saying? We're the choir. Don't laugh. I'm going to try to get down real safe now. I kind of felt nice up there. I felt kind of taller. I was kind of like, hey, this is all right. For the next two Sundays, we're going to be talking about God's solution to our biggest problems. God's solution to our biggest problems. We're going to address two problems. You might say, oh, preacher, I got a lot more problems than that. I ain't going to dispute you. I'm sure you do. You got a lot of issues if you're like me. You got a lot of different stuff. But I'm going to tell you, these two problems in particular have plagued mankind from the very beginning. And if you don't have God's solution to these things, you're going to go off. Oop, what did I say? Nani's class can go? Okay, Nani's class is gone. Thank you, Nani, for just going and realizing I was already on my whatever I was on my way. So we're going to look at the first two biggest problems, and they're there from the beginning. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Where else would you find the first problems than in the very beginning? What's amazing to me is how these two problems continue to be problems. They've been so from the beginning. They continue to be today. Without God's help, they're going to continue to be just forever. They're going to just go and go and go, okay? So this is something that we need to figure out. God, what do you have for us? God, what is it? How can we rectify this? How can you work through us? What have you given to help us? Our first big problem is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It's written in your bulletin. You might have a little outline for the sermon. It's written on the top of that. It says this. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come to worship, to be the choir, to come to hear your word, to be supplemented, to be fed. And Father, I pray that you would help us, that in any way we see this problem, specifically being alone, being lonely, isolated, alienated, feeling on the outside. Father, would you help us to realize it's not good. It's not what you intended for us, and that you have a solution for it. And Father God, we do love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, in chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good. But can I tell you, up until this point, everything that God saw had been good. Matter of fact, it had been good, 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 and very good. Everything in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis was good. The creation of man and woman was good. The creation of all the world was good. Everything God had done was good. This world was good. We were good. It was like all good. And then he comes to this point in chapter 2 when he's describing forming man and woman. He lets us know that there was an interim period of time when Adam was by himself. And there he was alone. And God said, that's not good. That's not good. It's not good that he's the only one. It's not good that there is no one that he can look at eyeball to eyeball, face to face with. There's no one he can really know. And there's no one who really knows him. And God sets to fix that. God's going to make it right. But let's look at a couple big ideas. Before we see how God makes it right, I want to lay some groundwork. So we'll have this for next week also. The first one is this. The first big idea is that God made people to live in community with him. Very first thing I need us to know is God made human beings, people, you and me, to have a relationship with him. We were made to share with him. Okay? We see this in chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 particularly. But it says, let us make man in our image. We're just going to take that sentence. Let us, that's God talking. And do you notice something strange about what God said? He didn't say, let me make man in my image. He said, let us make man in our image. There's something about God that's revealed from the very first pages of the Bible that shows that he is in community. Now, as New Testament believers, we have a word for that, a theological term for that. We say this is evidence of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one God, three persons. That hadn't been revealed yet in the book of Genesis. But what we do know is that when God spoke, he spoke in terms of community, in relationships. Let us make man in our image. We know that he wasn't speaking to the angels because we're not made in the image of the angels. We're made in the image of God. We bear the image of God. This is God speaking within his own personal community. Let us. And what's he going to do? He's going to share something with us. Let us make man in our image. And when I use the word man, because I'm looking out here at a lot of not men, but I'm talking about mankind. Let me tell you one of the things the Bible does. It puts men and women at the same level with God. It's not that men were made in the image of God and then women were made in something different. Listen to the scripture. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and everything that's creeping along the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There's something that for all people, whether you're male or whether you're female, whether you're black or whether you're white, whether you're from America or whether you're from China, it doesn't really matter. God has put something in us. He shared something with us. He shared His image. He made us to have relationship with Him. It was like God was saying, hey y'all, I want you to come into my community. I want you to come into my life. You know, God didn't need us. If God wanted to have somebody to tend the garden, the fact is God didn't even need a garden. What? He don't need to eat tomatoes. That's what everybody, you know, grows. It's not like God's going, man, I need tomatoes and cucumbers, otherwise I'm going to faint up here in heaven. And He could just speak tomatoes and cucumber sandwiches into existence. I'm pretty sure that in the Garden of Eden, He made not avocado trees, but guacamole trees, if you wanted to. I mean, He done had it whooped up. And you just plucked a patch of guacamole off a leaf and be like, mmm. Instead of corn, it was corn chip trees. I mean, it was just good. Didn't have flour and all. It just had flour tortillas. It was wonderful. Okay? But God can do that stuff. He didn't need us. He wanted us. He wanted us to know Him. He wanted us to be in that community with Him. God made us that way. We're going to talk about our relationship with God next week because that's our next big problem. But I want to tell you from the very beginning, God's intention for you and me is to know Him, to relate to Him, to love Him. Later, we're going to hear in the law, and then we're going to hear in the Gospels that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, that's the greatest of all commandments, is to love Him that way. Does that make sense? That's exactly what God wants from us. And that's the way it's been from the very beginning. So that's the first big idea. God made people to live in community with Him. The next big idea that I just want you to see is that God did make a place for us to share community. God made a place to share community with people. It says in verse 8 of chapter 2, after God had made man into a living being, after God had breathed the breath of life, it's so intimate. Matter of fact, so intimate, I can't use Bill as an illustration, but I can use my son. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. No, I'm not going to do it to him. God breathed of His Spirit, of Himself, into the man and brought him to life. Gave him of His Spirit, of His breath, that he might be a living soul. How intimate God shared with us, with people. How intimate, how close He had to be to breathe in His nostrils. But after that, God developed a garden, the perfect place, like us, with the guacamole trees and the corn tortilla chips and all that, you know, it had everything. This is what it says. The Lord planted a garden east in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. Why did He put him in the Garden of Eden? Why did He put us there? What was the purpose of it? The purpose was that we would have a place where God could walk in the cool of the day, and He could share with us. Matter of fact, I don't think I have it on here, but if you go to verse 15 through 17, it says that it shows a conversation between God and Adam. It doesn't seem like a very pleasant conversation. God's telling them, don't eat of that tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. But I want you to think about it. Take a bigger picture. What's going on? God's having a conversation with man in the garden. They're sharing together. They're communing together. They're talking together. That's the way it's meant to be. It's meant to be that way. God not only wants to share with us, but He establishes places where we can share together. Okay? That's the second big idea. First one, God wants to share, be in community with us. Second, He develops places. He developed a place. That's what Eden was. A place to share with God. A place to commune with God. A place to relate to God. Aren't you glad it wasn't just an idea in God's mind? how often we get ideas, like good intentions, like I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then we don't ever do it or we never come about. But God said, I want to know them and I want them to know me. Where at, God? When? How? And God answers all those questions. I'll develop this place. I'll put the man there and we'll talk. We'll just commune. Y'all, can you imagine what God, we know that one conversation, but can you imagine the conversations that these first, that Adam and even Eve, what they had with God? Can you imagine that fellowship unmarred by sin? No hindrances? No shame? Knowing God personally? Talking with God boldly? Asking God about the sun, the moon, and the stars and how they work? Asking God about what he was there for. Like a son might ask his father, why am I here? What do you want from me? And God saying, you're doing it, son. You're being who I want you to be. I love you. God just poured out his love on these two. He loved them and he wanted to fellowship with them. But before Eve came on, chapter 2 tells us there was just a slight interruption before Eve came on. And Adam was there by himself. And even though Adam and God were getting along really fine, everything was going really good, he kind of noticed something in Adam's face. He noticed that Adam was lonely. He noticed that Adam, when he looked around, he didn't see anybody else like him. When Adam looked around, he knew that nobody else was going through what he went through. Even though he didn't have it rough, but there was nobody to relate to. You know, even when you have a great thing happen and you have a great joy, what if there's nobody to share that great joy with? Even if you find out great and fascinating things about how the world works and who God is, but there's no one to share those great and fascinating things with, and they just stay in you because there's no one to look at eyeball to eyeball. There's nobody to relate to. God saw it, and that's what verse 18 is about. He saw that it was not good that this guy was alone. And so he decides to make a helper. This is big idea number 3 and where we're going to spend most of our time. God's solution for being lonely and big idea number 3 is God made people to live in community with one another. Now I know what you're thinking right now. Duh. Of course he made people to live with people. Of course he meant for us to hang out and all that stuff. Well, if it was so simple, let me ask you this. I imagine then there's no lonely people here today. Because that's so simple a concept. Of course you know you need to be vulnerable. Of course you know you need to be loving and kind and supportive to one another. Of course you know that you're not the only one in this world going through the problems that you have. Of course you know that your self-esteem is not based on whether or not you get liked a lot on Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter. Of course you know those things. And all of a sudden we go, oh, maybe we do have this same problem of being lonely. You can be lonely in a crowd. You can be lonely next to people you've known your whole life. You can be lonely married. You can be lonely single. You can be lonely near, and you can be lonely far. I almost sound like Dr. Seuss. You can be lonely in a car. You can be lonely on a star. One of the biggest problems that people face and still face today is that they believe no one knows what's going on, no one values them, they have no one to relate to, no one they can be fully honest with, no one that they can just be themselves, no one who will just accept them. Even this happens to Christians. Even if they can say, I believe God knows, I believe God loves me, I believe God accepts me. But can I tell you something? That's an awesome start. But it's hard to live in this world if you don't know there's at least one other person who knows you and who loves you, even though they know you. Who accepts you, warts and all. Loves you with your makeup off. That's a tough one for me. I take off all this makeup.
It's horrible. Loves you even though they know the sin. Loves you even though they know your weakness. Loves you even though they know that in the future you're going to hurt them again. Because you got a problem. People that we can live in community. People who can encourage us to love God together. People who can look us eyeball to eyeball and say, "You're still my friend." We are steadily losing the ability to communicate to one another in this country, in our day and age. If we got a difference from somebody, we hate them and we think they hate us and we get isolated from them. If we don't think everybody's just down the line supportive of just who we are and where we are, then we feel like, well, I don't want none of them and they don't want none of me and we'll just, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about that stuff. We're losing our abilities to be friends. People need friends. People need to be vulnerable. I need friends. I need to be able to be vulnerable. You know what it means to be vulnerable? To let you know what I'm facing, how I'm facing it, if I'm winning, if I'm losing, and know that you're going to know that I'm just people. And I need help and friends like everybody else. And so do you. So let's look at how God handled this, okay? Let's look at how God solved this problem. Because loneliness is a bad, bad thing. People step out of relationships because they're lonely. People step into addictions or get sucked in and trapped into addictions because they're lonely. Because lonely people get bored. And bored people want to do something. And they'll reach out to anything or anybody and they get in trouble. So let's look at how this works. Verse 18. The Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. Here's the solution. I will make him a helper comparable to him." I will make him a helper comparable to him. I got to tell you something. God's solution in all these, when I was reading through this chapter, God makes everything. I mean, go right from in the very first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God created or made the heavens and the earth. And God, let's make man in our own image. I will make a helper comparable to him. God made a garden over here east in Eden. God makes it. It's God's solution. God made a helper comparable to man. Now, ordinarily the way this passage goes is as a description of marriage. And I want to just address that for a minute. Marriage is good. Marriage is great. It was necessary that these first two people be male and female because you cannot produce a species out of anything but male and female. It was necessary that the first companions, the first friends, the first community was those who would be complementary so that they could reproduce and make a bigger and bigger community. Okay? But I need you to see this. This passage isn't just about marriage. It's about this guy, these folks, not being lonely. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is the first Adam that we're talking about here. Do you know in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is called the second Adam? He's the one, he's the man who actually gets it right. And you know Jesus was building a community? Jesus is building a community too. He calls it the church. Now, how many wives and how many children did Jesus have? Well, if you watch some of these movies, you know, like Dan Brown and Da Vinci Code and all that stuff, you get this idea. But Jesus was a single man. Jesus didn't have any biological offspring. Nonetheless, he was developing a huge community, not based on birth and reproduction and marriage, but based on the love of God and being born again by the Spirit of God. That's the community he's building. Hey, this church is built on love. I'm pointing at Mr. Wyman. That's one of his songs. This church was built on love. Christ was building a community on love. In this passage, even though it needed by necessity to be male and female, it needed to be the marriage passage. It's deeper than that. It's about the need for one another. We need each other. Why don't you all look around because you're too quiet right now. Look around at somebody and tell them you need them. Especially if you're married and your name's Edwards of any kind. I mean, y'all ought to put your arms around each other. Don't do that. They're both looking. I ain't saying nothing. I ain't saying nothing to nobody. I don't care what that preacher says. I ain't saying nothing. Y'all, we need each other. We need to know that it's good between us. We need to know that somebody knows us, that somebody cares for us. Okay? Let's look at this. So, the first thing that happened, God said, I'll make a helper comparable. He brings all the animals around to Adam. In verse 19 it says, and the Lord God, he made all the beasts of the field, every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, each animal, each living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. First idea was to give Adam a pet. Give him a pet. Now, that might seem small, but we are the most pet-crazy culture in the world. Yeah, we spend more on pets sometimes than what some countries and their whole family spend on food to live. We're crazy about our pets. Don't answer this. Okay, just don't answer it. But does anybody's pet have a therapist? You know, now in Mississippi that might not be, you know, a big thing, but you know there's places in this world where they take their dog or their cat to the therapist. Be like from California. California is the home of many things, including pet therapists. Because they'll say, well, my dog, he's disturbed. And he's got something that he needs. I know what your dog needs. He needs food. He needs to be walked. And if he ain't fixed, he needs to get his instincts out somewhere. Be it a stuffed animal or you just let him out. You know, he's got to do what dogs do. You know, we can't keep my dog on the inside of anything certain times. I ain't going to go any more into that, but that's what dogs need. Dogs don't need to talk out their feelings. I know we got dog whisperers. We got horse whisperers. Ron, we got horse whisperers. Ron might be a horse whisperer. I have no idea. But here's my point. Pet ain't going to cut it. I'm a dog guy. I like my dogs. And I can get, you know, I wrestle with them, I slap them around, we play. Dogs are the best greeters in the world. If we could put dogs at the front door of the church, so whenever somebody walked in, they'd be, oh, we're so glad you're here. We'd have like 10 million people right here in this church. Because dogs are the best greeters. But they're not the best partners. So whatever it is, a pet won't do. And it's so weird that I have to talk about it, but it's just true. Because we, through Disney animation stuff, put personalities and put things into pets that, yeah, it's not who is meant for us. We need a partner. We need a partner. We need somebody like us. Somebody, and it's not that they even have to look like us and all that, but someone who can understand us. Somebody who can relate to us and to relate to God, and someone we can relate to. We need each other. Okay? Not only that, and I've told you this already, but the next one is not just married people, but all people. This passage goes beyond just setting up marriage. It's talking about the need that we all have for community, the need that we have to belong. People are trying to belong. Y'all, would you ever... That's a hard question. Don't answer out loud. But would you ever deny Christ? What kind of pressure would have to be put on you to deny Christ? Some of you all in here are like, what, you got a $100 bill? We'll see what we can do. Got a lunch. If you love the Lord, you'd think it'd be hard. But can I tell you something? I believe Peter, the apostle, he loved the Lord. He loved Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. Jesus and him were partners. I ain't talking in any sexual connotation. I'm talking about friends. Man, they knew each other. They loved each other. They walked with each other. They ate with each other. They laughed. They fished. They thought they was going to get killed in the sea. Peter and Jesus, the only two people I know have walked on water together. Yet, for Peter to get in to the trial and Peter to fit in around the fire and for Peter to feel safe from retribution, he denied Jesus three times. To get in, to fit in, to be safe. These are strong. These are strong desires for us. God knew that. That's why he didn't just have one dude. That's why he wanted all of us. Okay? It wasn't just married people. It's people. And like I told you, Jesus, who took this whole community thing and took it up to a 10. He just took it to the highest place. He wasn't married. He didn't have any babies. Yet he takes community to the highest level. He takes intimacy with one another to the highest level, to a spiritual place of vulnerability. It's an awesome thing. The last point is that they weren't just naked, but they were real. Now, in this passage, I've even asked people to help me, to pray for me. Because in this passage it says, the man and woman were naked and they were unashamed. My point in this message is not to get you going off running naked with each other unless you are married people. And then you go ahead, be as naked as you can be. Unashamed. It's all good. But here's the point that's deeper than that. It's this. Be real. Where can you be real? Where can you be vulnerable? Where can you drop the mask in the facade of being the perfect Christian people, being the perfect mama, being the brave, strong daddy, and just be yourself, a person in this world, created by God, bearing His image, saved by Christ, and who needs help? And who still needs one another? Where can you find that? Where can you just be honest? Y'all, there's not going to be any need to put on the false exterior when we're in heaven. No need to suck in our gut and puff out our chest, whoever we are. I've been losing weight, lifting weights. I don't know if y'all can tell, but I'm having a hard time breathing. We don't need to be like that. I don't need to tell you about all the time I spent in prayer. I don't need to tell you about all this and that. I don't need to brag on these things. In heaven, there's not going to be any kind of bragging. There's not going to be any kind of insecurities. There's not going to be any kind of that. Amen? Isn't that cool? But I want you to know that the place that God made for community between he and mankind and between people, it was on earth. It wasn't in heaven. Eden was on earth. It wasn't in heaven. I believe God still wants people to find places on earth, not just in heaven, where they can be real, where they can be honest, where they can be vulnerable, where they can know they'll get heard. I have relations with some folks who always want to just tell me. And then when I want to share, they're not available. It's not reciprocal. Is reciprocal the right word? It's not precipitating. I know that's not the right word, but man, does that sound good. There's no perspiration in our relationship at all. I'm sorry. I just can't. These are the biggest words I can think of, and I'm throwing them out there. Just throwing them out there. That's so frustrating. I have feelings. I have opinions. Doesn't mean that's what I'm going to operate on. I operate by faith because God saved me, and the just shall live by faith. But I still need to be heard and be able to talk to folks. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about relationships I have out here in the Pacific. I have one in mind where somebody just kind of unloads. And then when I hope there's a friendship brewing and there's a time to respond back in kind, it's not there. And what do I find? I find that, man, that's not fulfilling at all. It leaves me feeling burdened now. It's like I have my burden and their burden. And I realize that kind of relationship don't work. And so that's not the environment I need to be in. I need to be in somewhere where not only can somebody be free to share with me, but I can be free to share with somebody else and talk or not talk. I looked at one of my good friends who doesn't talk much. He's free not to talk. He don't have to talk. He can just be. You know, that's another thing about just being friends is you can just sometimes be together. Y'all, listen. Your value, your worth doesn't rise on how You can be really popular and still be real lonely. One of my favorite actors, he spent some time in Michigan when he was growing up, which makes my heart even warmer toward him, was Robin Williams. He's so funny. Even in the cocaine years, he was really, really funny. Just like to watch his movies, laugh, hear him. He got some disease. They say, I think it was Lewy body dementia, which was the same thing that my grandmother just passed away of this past summer. And he got so isolated, so hopeless, so lonely, looking at this terminal thing, that he took his life. I can't think of anybody more popular. I can't think of anybody who would have had resources enough to, you know, try to battle it or extend it or understand it or somehow. I'm not here to dog them. I'm just saying it shows me that popularity and fame and resources is no guard against loneliness. You got to just be able to know each other. Find that place where people can be real. Do you know this church was founded on a principle where everyone is welcome? Now that brings us in the door. Anybody can come in the door. When we go to the jail, we tell them, you can come in the door at Christ Community Church. But can I tell you, this is the first step. We got to get to know each other. We got to come to love each other. We got to understand each other's burdens before we can fulfill the command of the Bible that says, bear one another's burdens. We got to learn how to pray for each other. I mean, I can pray for you and just be like, God bless you, amen, and wave my hand like one of them hand-waving preachers. But if I know what you're going through because I know you, I can really pray for you. And you could really pray for me. And I can really talk to you, and you can really talk to me. It's great that we're the place where everyone is welcome, but I believe God wants more from us. He wants us to be the place where everybody can find community, where people can find a place where they belong, where the people can find a place where they can say, yeah, they know me and I know them. I can bring somebody. I can tell them what my tattoos mean. Whatever I got to do, whatever I am, wherever I came from, I can tell them I just came from jail. I can tell them I just came from a broken marriage. I can tell them I just came from a bad betrayal. I can just tell them that I've been from one defeat or another after another. I can tell them that I feel so good, I almost feel ashamed of how good I feel because everybody else is going through a rotten time. Whatever it is, I can tell them. I can tell them I don't got it all together. I can tell them I don't know everything, but I know I belong because I'm in a group in which I've been accepted. We need that. Don't let your group be virtual, just on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, or whatever. I know there's probably something else that everybody else is using, and I'm not, you know, Instagram. I heard a song, it says, I don't know how to spell, but I know my Instagramma. And and so whatever it is, those things are fine, social media, but you know what I found? It still leaves you empty, leaves you wanting, it leaves you seeking a certain kind of approval that's probably just like eating Milky Way bars. You know, it like gives you a quick rush of energy and then it's gone really quick and at the end you're kind of just too chubby and you got diabetes and it's just bad for you socially. You know what I'm saying? It's just not right. It's not good to live on. So, I mean, I know some of y'all are thinking, I don't even know what social media it is. That's okay. You don't need to know. But for y'all who know, it kind of sucks you in. Y'all, we need people, real life, eyeball to eyeball. God's planting places like that. This is what Jesus is building his church for. I got a prayer here at the bottom of this I'd like to close with. It says, Lord God, you can pray with me. Lord God, help us. Lead us in community with you and with one another. We need friends. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. Make this church the community of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you might say, man, I am lonely. It aches at me. It burns at me. I can't drown it in booze. I can't hide it in pills. I can't outrun it from irresponsibility or just running. I need to face it and I need to ask God to help me. Man, if that's where you are, I invite you, just do business with God. God made a helper comparable to man. He made somebody for us. Now, I'm not talking about soulmateism. And I know that's where a lot of people go. I ain't talking about finding your rib. Some dude's out looking for his rib. Some dude comes and lifts your shirt up looking for his rib. Punch him in the eye. I'm talking about finding people you can be real with. I'm talking about finding, and y'all listen, it don't always just show up like poof. Sometimes you got to work for it. Sometimes you got to come in and say, you know what? If I'm going to have a friend, I'm going to need to be a friend. If I'm going to have a friend, I'm going to have to be a friend. But if God's dealing with you in that, let Him solve the problem. Don't go hiding it or trying to avoid it. Confront it, come to Him and ask Him, and He'll help. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. You loved us so much that You've made us to be in community with You, which ultimately means, Lord, that we need to come to You first, to confess our sin, to ask for Your forgiveness, so that we might relate to You unhindered. But Father, You also made us for one another. The first commandment is to love You. The second commandment is to love our neighbor. And the new commandment is to love one another as You loved us. So would You help us, Lord? Help us not to fight from being vulnerable. Help us not to fight to hide who we are under layers of complications. Help us to be straightforward and honest and find peace in this life with a group of people to whom we can belong. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I said in my prayer, if you haven't related to God, if you're here this morning and you say, I don't have a relationship with God because God won't accept me because I've never talked to Him about my sin. Can I tell you, He's ready to accept you. Everyone who God calls and draws, Jesus Christ accepts. Man, He died for your sin. He will save you, accept you, bring you in. That's where our relationship and our community starts. It starts with God. Then we can move on. We love God first because we know He loved us. Then we love our neighbor and we love one another as ourselves. Okay? So if that's you, do business with God, whether it's up here or right where you're sitting. Do business with God. Next week, we're going to look at the our other big problem, and how we became isolated from God and what God did to solve it. But as I was sitting there and I was thinking about loneliness, about this first big problem, it made me think, and just bear with me for a second, it made me think about hell. Usually when we think about hell, it's first and foremost, we think of a place of torment, okay, a place of pain. But can I tell you that, like no other place, it's going to be a place of loneliness. There's no fellowship there. There's no community there. Y'all, it's not a whole band of sinners who've decided, kind of like Hell's Angels, to get Harleys and drive around in the hot lake place. There's no kindness there. There's no mercy there. There's no love there. There's no light there. God's grace does not go there on purpose. It's a place of complete isolation. A place where no one is ever going to look you in the eye. Where no one is ever going to ask how you are. Where no one ever is going to care. Period. Ever. And sometimes in this life, we feel like we're going through that. But can I tell you, just like the torments will be beyond anything you can imagine, the loneliness will be crushing like the bottom of the ocean with the weight and the pressure of knowing that you're alone. That's not where we want to be. That's not where we want anybody to be. It's not what we were made for. And God gives us an alternative. Just always remember that. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward as they do for the morning offering. And as they come, I'm going to pray for us. And as I only see one, I'm going to pray really long until they all get here. I'm just kidding. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. Your church, the word church, means called out. So I thank you, Father, for calling us out in Jesus' name. Thank you for getting us up and calling us out here this very morning in Jesus' name. And we love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. This earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. And that's what we're going to be talking about, God's solution to our biggest problems. Let me invite you to something. It's going to be in your bulletin. It's going to be coming out, the advertisement of it. But on October 22nd, Sunday, October 22nd, on Sunday night, starting at 5:30, we're going to be going through small group training for the entire church. God called this church Christ Community Church. And I think there's a couple reasons. One, he wanted us in the community of Grenada that he planted us in, and two, he wanted us to develop a place where we could be friends, where we could be vulnerable, where we could make brothers and sisters, where iron could sharpen iron, where the young could teach the old, where we could all be together. Y'all understand? That's part of it. So we're going to start a training program on Sunday night. We don't usually have a training or a Sunday night service, but we're going to have it for about 8 weeks. Okay? On Sunday night, starting October 22nd. Everybody say October 22nd. What's going to happen then? Training for what? Small groups, so we can be community, so we can develop this, okay? That's what we're going to be doing, all right? So put that on your calendar and make provision to be here. And watch out for crying babies. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Lord, we do love you. We give you all the praise, and we thank you for today. Make us, Lord, like we prayed earlier, the community of Christ, where we are seeking you out and loving you and loving one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for letting me be your pastor. I love y'all. Ready?